Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good afternoon, good evening. This is Haleem Mustafa, your host today of this exciting program. And I'm here in Houston, Texas, and we're experiencing some really interesting storm and thunder and lightning. And so I'm inside a building here. Hopefully everyone can hear me loud and clear. I want to first of all say welcome to Life Success Radio, which is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the classic Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. I am your host, and I go by the name of Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, Master Inspirational Success Teacher, World's Greatest Inspirational Success Teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich. What my intention today is that I want to present some ideas as to a global youth student leadership movement that's spawning from America, that I founded in 1999 in Silicon Valley, that was part of the expanded visionary plans of the Carver Scholars Program, found by myself, Haleem Mustafa, of a nonprofit organization called the Healing Institute for Jobs, Recovery, Academics, and Housing. Now, this particular organization was very successful in Silicon Valley, assisting with K-12 education to help, at that point, African American students who, despite coming from middle upper class families, and some were like under the poverty line, there was a discrepancy of those being able to continue their higher learning and to penetrate the job market in what is science, technology, engineering, math. And there was a fall off of them going to the public and private colleges and universities, state and as a private as well, and especially going to the HBCUs, which is the historic black colleges and universities. So there was a whole lot of concern as to what would be a solution. And so myself, as a visionary leader, envisioned the future of these young people. And as a result, the Modern Day Achievers was given birth. And also, what's important to understand this one, that the STEM initiative that America enjoys today, which is an acronym for science, technology, engineering and math, was because of my efforts in Silicon Valley. Now, to give you evidence, if you don't think that what I'm saying is true, you can visit the White House archives of former President Bill Clinton and look up, say, the 1999-2000 Dr. George Washington Carver January 5th Recognition Day. And you will see a video from President Clinton, Bill Clinton, acknowledging myself as the organization called the Healing Institute, two words, healing, like not sick, and institute. And also he referenced the Santa Clara County Alliance of Black School Educators. Now, what was significant is that we had been invited to Washington, D.C., and were given a congressional award by Congressman Major Owens, who was from New York City. He's no longer here, and his co-board director named Dr. Ronnie Lowenstein, a Jewish lady in Washington, D.C. area. They recognized what we were doing in Silicon Valley, and they gave us this award as being the most duplicatable program in the country. So as a result of all the things that we have been doing for 10 years brought us to that stage of having been the model that today's STEM is based on. Now, it's a little known fact, unfortunately, because things sometimes don't get publicized coming from, say, black community or people who are not with white privileged skin, because if I was white, automatically it would have been headlines all around the country and even the world that, hey, black guy pushes organization, becomes the national model for STEM. But none of that happened. So it just tells me this country is still a little bit cynical, despite it having some liberal gibberish about being fair. So I want to take you through a journey. This is just giving you some prelude of what I hope to cover. And I want to say this, that I would, and ultimately, as I would like you to be able to think about, is I would like you, whoever you are, as a citizen of the planet Earth that's rotating around the sun in the our universe, and you are not an alien that doesn't like people, but you are a human being yourself, and you would like to help humans be human, I'd like you to join us in the marketing, sponsorship, and support of the 74th Dr. George Washington Carver January 5th day that will be happening in 2019. So this national day is a day of honor and unity for America to be proud of. We need to show young people in the future, in the present right now, that we will have a future as long as we remember our past. See, a people who forget their past is doomed to repeat certain things that make them seem like really stupid and really ignorant for not recognizing what Dr. Carver has meant to this country. So Dr. Carver, and I won't go into a lot of detail now, but I'm going to, over a period of time, do these radio blog that we do here on the radio called Live Life, L-I-F-E, Success Radio. That's what we are. We're dealing with life success radio. And we have to deal with the reality of everything and not deal with fallacies and fantasies. Because if we're going to educate our young people to be leaders, we got to preface this on truth and not on lies of anybody's superiority over another human being. Because no human being, no matter who they are, has a right to claim another human being as a slave. A slave, especially under conditions of treating them as though they're less than an animal. And the experience of African-American people to this effect has, despite us not having the economic wealth that we should have, we do know that we contributed to the wealth of this country in building its industrial infrastructure. Now, we're not asking anybody for a handout, because today we have enough African-American intelligence to know how to build things, but we just got to have to know how to today work in a semblance with the infrastructure of this country and not let us work in a subservient base, but work as leaders with our own vision that we do just like other countries do when they come to America They come here and establish their businesses, and they partnership with America on certain things. I'll give an example of that. You're talking about Toyota manufacturing autos in Milpitas, California, in Chicago, and other places around the country. Toyota, Japanese companies, basically. And so they don't come here in a subservient role. They come here in a leadership role to actually do what they do to make money and make a quality product. So today the challenge for us as African people of the descent from Africa, we have obligation to our children to demonstrate that we are not inferior as white people during slavery time attempted to make us believe by all the things that they used to do to reinforce this negative attitude. For example, you might have seen a film called The Birth of a Nation, where it showed, you know, a lot of different step and fetching kind of behavior of having like black people really depicted as not human, but really like so comical that it was ridiculous. Eyes popping out the head, necks swinging around. You might even look at some pictures like Amos and Andy, where Amos never was stood up to with his wife and talked any intelligence. He would always talk like in doubt, never really having a firm decision as a family man leader. And his wife, Sapphire, she would be very dominant to the point that it became like apparent that there was no manhood in the house. So what I'm saying basically is that there has been a overt effort by America media to subvert the human being existence of black people from way, way, way back. And you even see this idea in some other things that are coming from Africa. Now, let me just go to a point here if I could. The modern day achievers, as I mentioned my outline here, the modern day achievers is a youth and student leadership movement that I founded, as I mentioned, in Silicon Valley, to carry on the expanded vision plans of Carver Scholars Program so that we would be able to prepare these young people who go on to college. We would support them with scholarships to the HBCUs so we don't lose the legacies of the HBCUs. Because if we lose enrollment in the black colleges, then other people come in and take advantage of what is the property and even the scholarships that are just kind of sitting there. And it's happened already, but, you know, we're just saying we're not going to be stupid and just say it didn't happen, or we say that we were, you know, not partially at fault. But let's all of us learn something today, the power of forgiveness. Because and I forgive you, white people, for enslaving my ancestors. I forgive you, and I pray that you forgive me for telling you the truth that may make you feel like you are not as superior as you think you are, because you are not God, and you have fooled the world to believe that you are. And we can't lie to ourselves any longer. You are not God, and if you keep trying to be like God, you're going to become the devil, and that's a fact. Because God has no partners in his dominion of the universe. Any partners, maybe like what you might say, angels, but they're not partners in decision-making. They just carry out commands that God, gives them permission to do. So unless you, America, come to your natural senses again and start doing things from your heart and remember forgiveness, that's critical. And so here goes. So I've been making efforts to find young white people to join the Modern Day Achievers. And where I'm here in Texas, I'm based in California, San Francisco, which is a very progressive city. despite having a blatant homosexuality, being demonstrated by people who like that lifestyle, but still there's a democracy engagement where people are allowed to be themselves. That's the Constitution here in America. But there's a Constitution of God, but I won't go there right now. So let me just go to what I was going to say. So I was looking for some white students who are brilliant enough to work with me, like I have a lot of young Hispanic, Black, Chinese, no Chinese yet. Okay, so here goes the piece. Every time I speak to a young white student, a male or female, they make all these promises that they like what they're hearing, but they never showed up, not to a phone call, not to a meeting, not to meet me for a cup of coffee for any question that they may have, not to meet their parents. I started understanding, wow, this is weird. Why is this? I asked questions. And then I figured it out. I figured out that it's like they feel, white people, that they're so privileged that they don't deal with nobody of their same privileged status. But I find that is a fallacy that they're that privileged, because just tonight I met a young man who just got back from Dubai, over in Saudi Arabia. And he's 18 years old, and he has a young lady that he's going to get married to. That's good. No more homosexuality there. And so he told me that over in Dubai, even though he himself comes from a privileged family background, that he felt inferior to a lot of the Arab, or the what they call the Dubaians, I don't know how you say them, or immigrants, that they had so much money, they made him feel inferior. So he understands the inferiority of people in America who don't have the privileged skin color, nor the bank accounts, nor the systems for developing independent money that can contribute to the taxpaying roles of citizens in America to add to our freedom. So he understands all that from a firsthand experience. So he tells me, both he and his future wife, that they're going to join us, and I was so happy to hear that one. Because we have to figure out is that either we all on the same team or we all are going to lose on different teams. Now, I'm going to say that we have to be team builders, and that's why Haleem the Dream Builder is a team builder. And if you understand TEAM as an acronym in all capital letters, it means together, everyone makes more, achieves more. Sorry, together, everyone achieves more. Together, everyone achieves more. That means abundance. So if America wants abundance, it cannot eliminate the masses of people at the bottom of the pyramid. Or you might say a pyramid, not pyramid in Africa, which was first, built by Black people and hasn't been duplicated since. Even with the most strongest technology, no one in the world could figure out how my ancestors, I'm going to claim them, my ancestors built that one. It was not built by the aliens, as people try to claim. It was built by my ancestors who had mastered the ability, as I believe, to levitate energy and move heavy objects like, people can do a little bit now in the world. Okay, so let me get back to my point. Okay, so if America plans to be great, as our president alludes to several, let me qualify the president. I'm talking President Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is not a great president, but I think personally, the greatest president, in my opinion, and you correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, you can call me, let me know, I'll tell the truth or I'm not, is John F. Kennedy. I think that's my personal belief, that John F. Kennedy and his brother, Robert F. Kennedy, were going to be the greatest dynamic duo since Batman and Robin in bringing America to the future. And unfortunately, the assassination was done. And some people say the conspiracy, some people not. But I'm just trying to figure out that magic bullet. I don't know. Can you help me out with that magic bullet, anyone? How it went around the corner or did what it did, and they found some other evidence that was some people on the knoll, grass knoll, and they found some evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald was not in that building like they said he was, and they found some evidence that the mafia was involved, and it's just a big bunch of can of worms. But you know this, if there's that much confusion, there must be a lie somewhere in it, right? Because only the devil exists in a confusion. So the confusion tells me there was a devil in the middle of that one. Now, I don't know who the devil was. Maybe you may know the devil. Maybe it might be your friend. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, we can't let the devil in our lives no more. There will be no more killing of people who are doing the service and work for God. Like some people believe this one, which I see different, but I won't go into that, what I'm saying. But let me just say this one, that Jesus got killed by evil people. And so, fine, I won't go further than that one. And I won't even try to tell you that every year you celebrate Easter like it's his death day and resurrection. And I still don't understand it. The 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale will be the same of man's coming, 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. So I'm kind of confused on that connection. So I won't go there. That's just something for our Christian scholars to figure that one out. Because I can count, and that definitely is not 3 days and three nights that Jesus in the cave or the tomb that he was buried in, right? I told him the rock that was put in front of the tomb, that he eventually came from behind the rock. So I don't want to go there because it's just a bunch of confusion. But even this one, so I can only say, if Easter is really Easter, like every other holiday, as my American experience teaches me, or my, you know, people say, well, the holidays rotate. Every day in America rotates a day forward every year on the calendar. So if Easter happened, say, on, say, a Monday 1 year, it should sequentially go to a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, and a Sunday. But I get confused because every year it's on a Friday, a Saturday, and Sunday. I said, wow, that's weird. Just a question now. I'm not saying, but you know, some of you smart people out there, you might know how to figure that one out. You may got a special calendar that works differently than my calendar, because I'm looking at my calendar. It always says that, you know, days rotate forward from every new year that comes. It rotates forward. All right, so here we go. So I want to just make a commercial here. Again, this publication, this broadcast, let me say that, is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the classic book called Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And that book, I would like to say a commercial for it. The book is extraordinarily insightful in terms of the historical things that happened during the life and times of many of the leaders, not just including Booker T. Washington, but Frederick Douglass, Martin Luther King, W.E. Du Bois. You might talk about Medgar Evers. You're talking about the Pullman porters. Even let me explain to you. This is really deep here. There's one that you need to really pay attention to. It's my friend in spirit and my brother in spirit named Brown. He and his family, they went out there and they put their life on the line for black people being hung. John Brown is a hero in my mind, because he told his son, slavery is not right. We're going to go out here. We're going to fight, put our life on the line for what we believe in. And so his family, his son and his himself and his two sons went out and they started fighting on the idea of freedom of black people to say they're not slaves. So we got to treat them as human beings. That for me was profound. So not all white people are as cynical as some white people who eventually learn their lesson. Like, for example, George Wallace, who was the governor of Alabama, when he actually is known historically for putting his foot in front of the school doors when their segregation was kind of like being challenged and black people were going to start enrolling in Alabama, he blocked the door, which triggered some other responses. But eventually, you know, he realized his wrong. I don't know if he made it public or not, but for sure, because somebody shot him, and he was paralyzed in a wheelchair, had to stay there all his life remaining, and a black guy was his personal nurse or personal caretaker, personal security, whatever, that would escort him and open doors for him and just treated him like a human being. So I would think that he would have been very, very sad if he reflected on how he treated black people. So the moral of the story for this reality, I'm going to say that again, the moral of the story for this reality as relates to Governor George Wallace, who was a racist, Ku Klux Klan without a sheet over his head, who experienced a profound experience of forgiveness demonstrated by the black man who was his aide. And as a result of the black man forgiving him, he didn't do anything wrong to his food or his water, like a lot of white people did to us. They gave us bad food, and they gave us bad water, and they gave us bad advice. Even today, they're giving us bad advice today on investments and housing stuff that we should invest in. And what do you have is a multi-level marketing investment thing, and the Bernie Madoff with a lot of money. Bernie Madoff with whose money? It wasn't black folks' money this time. It was white folks' money. But they found out and they put this butt in jail. I don't know if they got all the money back from his family. His sons, they stole a lot of the money and they went off and spent it and stuff. But Bernie Madoff, and they put his butt in jail, and he needed to be in jail because he thought that he was above the law. But listen, America is a land of laws. Obey the laws. We all should be charged. So anyone obeying the law, disobeying the law, anyone obeying the law, I say to you, hallelujah, heaven up. But anyone disobeying the law and being a criminal, I say to you, hello, go to hell, because that's where you're going. So I'm going to say hello in advance to you. Hell is low, and that's where the devil resides at. But I'm not talking under the ground. I'm talking about you. Look in the mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see yourself evil. You won't even like to look at yourself because you have no smile on your face because you're evil as everything, like evil Lena. Now, I'm not going to rant and rave on your evil behavior, but you know you're evil when you see people who didn't do anything to you and you look at them like they got doo-doo on their shoes. And you yourself, you're not above it because you stink too. You stink of corruption. You stink of blood on your hand, right? You killed a very important brother named Dr. Martin Luther King. And you made a conspiracy as you made John Kennedy disappear. And you also made a conspiracy when you made his brother Robert disappear. So you got to stop all this evil things you're doing. Otherwise, I'm going to have to ask God to take away the forgiveness, the mercy of forgiveness that he gives everybody, and eliminate the template or the default of mercy in the universe and let you get your justice. Because justice served is justice done, and justice will be done as God wanted to happen, because thy kingdom come through justice. Thy kingdom come through justice. And trust me, God has a plan for justice. And that brings me to another point here. As I'm here in Houston, Texas, looking out the window here, this complex I'm in, and it's raining like cats and dogs, but it's raining so hard people are like running to get inside. So this is a biblical proportion storm that have a second front coming in here. Might be the third front, I don't know. But it's such a bad one that the lightning is like thunder and lightning is cracking, and it's making people like duck and run for cover. It's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah in some places. Now, I don't know if Texas have a whole lot of homosexuality, but in my practice of my faith as a Muslim, homosexuality is a crime, and I don't care who you are, you can't justify a man with another man acting like one is a woman and another is a man, because it's not matching. Like I tell the people, God made the salt water and he made the fresh water, and he made them not ever to intersect and become diluted in each other. Now, if there's a barrier between the salt water and the fresh water, what do you think there is a barrier between homosexuality and non-homosexuality? I think that promiscuity can happen to people who are out of control in their thinking. They might be drunk on alcohol, and they engage in a homosexual act, and they think that it's something that felt good, but all it was a jack-off. So you jacked off in another man's butt. But what? I'm talking about the butt of doubt. So you have a doubt, and you jump in another man's doubt. And whatever you jumped in there for, you got a thrill. But hell, you can have a wet dream and have a better thrill than that. At least you won't get AIDS, and you won't get other stuff. But that's another question. We'll talk about that later. So I want to say that this particular show is Live Success Radio, and I'm your host, Halim, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, Master Inspirational Success Teacher, world's greatest inspirational success teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of the book Think and Grow Rich. Now, I'm going to share with you folks who don't know. I was given a text message congratulations from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough about 2 weeks ago, and he said that Napoleon Hill will be proud of me, and he said congratulations in what I presented as what I just told you as to who I am. So Napoleon Hill is someone that we all need to look at and study, because he was sincere. And for a lot of you out there who are in this idea of this motivational crave of success information, you have to give credit to the father of it. And the father was Napoleon Hill. It was not anyone else. So don't you get it twisted. Napoleon Hill was the one that was given a letter of introduction from Andrew Carnegie, America's great industrial steel mill giant. And the letter he gave him after a decision that Napoleon made to take on the challenge to go out and interview the friends of Andrew Carnegie. And he did. They included Henry Ford, J. Paul Getty, Clement Stone, anybody that you might can think of that's in the pioneer industrial growth of America in the 20s, 30s, that would be included in the book that Napoleon Hill wrote called Think and Grow Rich. Now, Napoleon Hill put something in that book that really shocked a lot of people, but he did it based on knowledge and not based on racism or isms and schisms. He said in chapter 8, he said, the most greatest example of what it takes to be successful can be found in the term called persistence. For those who can't spell, is P-E-R-S-I-S-T-E-N-C-E, persistence. And he said the greatest example of persistence was the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad, Ibn Abdullah of Saudi Arabia, who was born a human being and demonstrated through his persistence how to overcome evil or ignorance. He said that to get a really good idea, that everyone should read the Quran to get a full picture. Now, I'm going to have to say this. I'm really going to have to say this because, okay, I understand the idea of promoting white supremacy, but I don't understand why you would take what I wrote. If I was Napoleon Hill and I wrote a book and I said in my book that the greatest example of persistence was historical, the prophet Muhammad, and then you, in later edition, you put in somebody like, for example, this happened. Now, trust me, this happened. I don't know. They put in the Starbucks CEO, founder of Starbucks, as the greatest example of persistence. Now, I don't say that was a joke or not, but I didn't appreciate that joke. Because you're going to mess with another man's book, that's proprietary, and that's not integrity. Now, if we're talking as Americans that we stand for integrity and, you know, doing the right thing, that was obviously a criminal act from my perspective. Now, I'm a former cop, California. I worked 10 years in law enforcement, so I'm not telling you something that I don't know. There's penalties, and there's repercussions legally for doing things that you shouldn't do. Like if you sell drugs, you go to jail for selling drugs. If you sell that thing, sex thing, man and woman, you go to jail for that. Now, if you steal a legacy out of a book that Napoleon Hill wrote, I think you should go to jail. So I want everyone, if you do this for me, if you send me an email to me at Dr. Samwell, D-R, Sam, S-A-M, and Well, W-E-L, Dr. Samwell, at gmail.com, I'm going to forward your email message along with a letter from me to Don Green, who is the current director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, who I spoke to several times, and he's 77 years old, and he knows Napoleon Hill well, at least he says. But the fact is that no one is standing up to what I just shared with you and taking a book that was written as a historical record and changing it to saying that somebody else fits the example of persistence better than the Prophet Muhammad that came from the words and knowledge and research of Napoleon Hill. Now, if under that same premise, I could do this, and you couldn't stop me if I can follow that same process and do this, you'd have to acknowledge that I have the right to do it if you believe that what happened with the Starbucks CEO being listed in the book of persistence on chapter 8 as the example to take the Prophet Muhammad. So I can say, okay, fine. Now, Jesus Christ, for whatever you say, you as believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in him too. I love him as a brother, as a prophet, not as God. But let's say this. So instead of Jesus Christ, you put my name in there, Haleem Mustafa. And then you say that I'm the best example of talking to God through angels that help guide me to my destiny. Because that's what happened. Jesus, he would say, greater works would you do than I. And he would say things that were so unusual that people said, where does man get this information from? Now, I know personally that there's inspiration, and all inspiration comes from God. It don't come from the devil. The devil has no reason to inspire human beings to be excellent. He wants to inspire you to be degradant, degrading, so evil that you accept filth as you accept filth in your environment, in your communities. And so for anyone today in America who allows the filth of lies to be spread about people being inferior, coming from monkeys and apes, and saying that black people created AIDS, you are a liar. And I'm telling you to your face through this phone that you are a liar. You know how AIDS got here. I know it too. You had Dr. Kropotkin, do an experiment in the Congo with the monkeys and doing the blood transfusion. He did that. Yes, he did. And I saw the video. I know what I'm talking about. It was an HBO special. And I'm going to tell you this, too. I know this, that you actually, you think that because you have white skin that you're so privileged that you can change the history of the world and say that white people were here before black people. And you can say that if you want to, but you can't prove that because Lucy has already exposed your weak game. Lucy was a old bones they dug up in South Africa, I believe. And it's over 2 million years old. And Lucy was known as the oldest human being of Homo sapien, standing straight up, kind of, you know, meaning standing straight up upright like human beings and not bent over like apes living in the caves of the Caucasus Mountains. Does that sound familiar to anybody? There were some apes that were like white apes living in the Caucasus Mountains, and they were like cannibals, and they ate each other, and they eventually found out about Africa, and they went to Africa, and they saw all this sunshine, and they saw this beautiful black skin and these beautiful kingly people dressed in all this fine decor, and they said, this can't be hell. This is heaven. We're going to leave them caves in the Appalachian and the Appalachian Mountains. So they left the caves, and they came to Africa, and they went and conspired over time to steal the legacy of Africa. And you could find all this kind of information I'm telling you about in all kind of studies. For example, you can find it in the book Bible, where it talks about Noah and his sons, Cain, Abel, and Ham, right? Cain, Abel, Ham. Not Cain, Abel, but Ham. And well, let me just say this one. So they say that Noah cursed his son, Ham, which is supposed to be represent black people. And so for Ham seeing his father naked, sleeping in his tent without being clothes on, after drinking a whole lot of Annie Green Spring wine, or what you might say, what's that, cold duck. I used to drink that stuff. So that's some knockout wine, cold duck. Well, how about this? Riesling. That's some good wine, but it knock you out too. So any alcohol really works against you. And unless you yourself are doing it under prescription, I would stay away from it, right? And even marijuana, unless you're doing it with prescription, not that prescriptions make it right. But I'm going to tell you this one. This is a fact in my life. My grandfather, he died from smoking cigarettes. And while he was, I was taking care of him and my grandmother, he would always tell me that he wanted some marijuana. So I went on my way. I was retired from police work, so you can't arrest me. That's past. The statute of limitation is over on that. But in any event, I went and found some marijuana for him, and he smoked it. And he said it gave him an appetite so he could eat food, and it helped him live a little bit longer. And he would smoke the marijuana to help him relieve what he had as the emphysema in his body and the weakness from not being able to eat. So he was able to eat food, and God blessed him to be with the family a little bit longer. So I know there are benefits with marijuana medically, but if you just out there doing it for the wrong reason, like get your medical marijuana card, and now you're a dope dealer. Now you're the goddamn, I can't say it on the radio. Sorry about that. You're a goddamned person. You are a goddamned person. I didn't say the word in one word. I said you are a goddamned person, right? Now don't give me no technicality, because I'm being very clear on this one now. So you're damned by God, because now you're out here selling drugs under the illusion that you are actually getting a card for your own personal use. And even, okay, this is another thing. White people, why don't you guys stop taking away opportunity from black people? Now, you guys have all the lockdown of all the marijuana dispensaries all around the country, and now you don't want black people to, even in towns that they are dominant, like Oakland, California, and other areas, to have a dispensary. Well, we can make money too. You are not the only one that won't make money. We want some of this money too. We want to feed our families. We want to help make some tax dollars available. Just because you get all the money and now you can pay the taxes, and you don't have to really care about us as a people no more, because we're not your slaves. So you're just trying to just totally choke us out and throw us in body slammers or choke slammers down to the ground and stomp us. Why don't you just go in and get some guns and kill us, like you're doing right now with all these young people out here? You're going out already shooting in these towns and the on the name of anti-Black Lives Matter. All right, so I understand what you're doing is called a conspiracy. Now I'm talking to the cop talking to you, so you can't do nothing to me, because I understand the law. You are conspiring as cops to behave a certain way, and you don't say it publicly, but in your back room, you said it's cold blue language. Cold blue language is when they ostracize a person who's a police officer going against the other police officers. They do a cold blue on you. And I'll tell you an example of that one. You remember Chuck Norris? He was in a movie in Chicago, I believe, and they done a cold blue on Chuck Norris where they wouldn't come to his aid, and he had to pull out his super martial arts and whoop a whole thousand people. I'm kind of being cynical on that, but this is a real situation. Code Blue is the isolation of fellow officers who are attempting to do the right thing. So we have to recognize that Code Blue is a necessity today across the board in everything. We have to have Code Blue in terms of anti-Code Blue, watching the politicians in Washington, D.C. from stealing the money and the budget. We got to watch the healthcare crooks who want to discredit Obama's healthcare system to create what is a way to steal money and not get caught by raising the fees of the insurance providers and getting the large fees and not applying what is the healthcare services to the people at fair prices. Now, there's so many different examples I can give you, but I don't, you know, I'm not a rant and rave, but I'm just telling the truth. Now, if anything I say that you think is not true, you come and you challenge me to the conversation, and I'm not being disrespectful. I'm telling you that if you don't challenge me, you must be either afraid or you just don't have enough intellect to stand up and have a conversation with a person like me, because I'm pretty smart. I know how to peep your game and see your deep side, which is evil. If you think that doing healthcare, that's because Obama bought it out, that it's called Obamacare. No, that's healthcare for America, not Obamacare. He just happened to be the president, and you saying Obamacare. Well, he cares because you don't care. If you cared, you would say it's America's healthcare instead of Obamacare. Obama cared enough to put his name on it. Congratulations to you, President Obama. Well, you're not the president any longer, but once a president, you're always a president. You remember our good friend Jimmy Carter? They called him the Peanut Man. Now, I don't know if he's still alive, but I pray to God he is. If he's not alive, I'm praying to God that God bless him and take him to the good place in heaven, which is certainly heaven on earth as we live, but also heaven in terms of the judgment day, where we're going to be in another dimension of time. But Jimmy Carter was a good guy, and he was really Southern, but he wasn't no dumb Southerner. He wasn't no cracker Southerner. He was an intelligent Southerner who was very intellectual about things that he learned from his mother, right? And so the thing is that he knew that slavery was wrong. He knew that sharecropping was extremely wrong. And he knew that the peanut farm that they made so much money on was wrong. And his brother Billy was a God. What did I say the other word without the M-A-D? God mad. I'm going to say God mad. And you can reverse the word mad and make it spell D-A-M. And you say that one. I'm not going to say that one because I might get in trouble on this phone with the FCC. So his brother was a God mad fool. All right? You got my drift? Billy, the alcoholic who pissed on the White House lawn. Man, that takes a lot of balls to go to the White House and take a piss. Ain't you have no manners, fool? Billy? Really, Billy? Are you that stupid, ignorant, beer-drinking fool? Okay, now this brings me to another question. Texas, why is Texas so racist? I really don't understand. I went to a church last night. A Mexican lady picked me up and took me to her church, invited me about a week ago, and I said I'd go. She picked me up and took me to her church, and it was a very beautiful service, all Spanish, but I felt the spirit. But she spoke good English, and she talked to me on the way and on the way back. She tells me that in America today, especially on the news in the last couple of days, there are efforts to dismantle the masked Mexicans who were born here as citizens. Now, that's not right, America. Just because you want to make America great or make America lose its fate of progress in the future, you're actually going to doom us to a fate of hell if you don't stop it. I'm telling you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is emergency, sir. This is a phone call from Dr. Halim Mustafa with a prescription, sir. you better change the direction of America quickly and take out those haters who don't smile at people because they're aliens, and you better put some real human beings in office on that cabinet, sir, to address matters that are really human being matters, like the fairness of education, the fairness of economics, the fairness of spiritual consciousness, you might call it religion, the fairness of, for example, let me just go there for a second. I know here in Texas they had a flood, and there's this Muslim guy who has a family, and his wife has a child, and he works at this KFC Kentucky place, Kentucky Fried Chicken place in Texas. So when the flood happened, everybody was being taken to the shelters. Now, his wife dressed in hijab, and so when they took them to the shelter refused to admit them. I don't understand that shelter. You're supposed to be helping people, shelter. Shame on you. And they refused the people. And then the company paid for them to stay in a motel, which was 3 or 4 or 5 times much more than what the shelter would have paid or would have received or would have given and taken care of the family who was a Muslim family. So I am really, really tired of America's cynicism. Cynicism will get you hell in God's kingdom. So you can no longer be a cynic, America, and talking about you a leader, because you're going to be just like Adolf Hitler, and you're going to be just like, who else was an evil person? You guys got to help me out that one. Okay, tell you what, if anybody knows of an evil person that I missed, could you please call me at my phone number, 650-921-5131. Repeat, 650-921-5131. And tell me who an evil person is. And there don't have to be no color, just an evil person. For example, there were evil people, black people, who murdered Dr. Booker T. Washington at the age 52. Black people now. It wasn't white people. I thought it was white people. But black people poisoned the man. Now, ain't that something? Now, the brother is a brother, Dr. Booker T. Washington, and he goes to help black people all across the country through the establishment of Tuskegee University, Tuskegee Normal Institute, which is an industrial trade school. And black people get jealous of him for whatever reason and poison him. And that's a book that's written that you should get. I don't know the name of the book, but if you text me or email me, and you can email me at drsamwell@gmail.com. And I'll get you access to the author of that book, who I've talked to on the phone several times. And, this is bringing me to another episode here. Okay, so right now it's about 6:52. I'm going to shut this thing off here and say another 8 minutes. But I want to say this. There is a phone number that you should call to listen to the great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. And I call him the professor, and he is truly a professor of history knowledge that makes history come alive. It makes you want to really, really go to college. He is so, so detailed. Whenever I speak to him, he tells me to shut your mouth, youngin' or youngster, and learn something where I teach you how to read history and understand it from someone who's been there from firsthand experience, through his great-grandfather, vicariously through his mother, who was the oldest daughter, and so therefore makes him the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington. So if you call this number, 657-383-0671, that's again 657-383-0671, you're going to be on a blog talk called Booker T. Washington Speaks. Now, don't call till Saturday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, which is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Now, I'm going to be on that show as a co-host with the Professor Washington, who is known by Marshall Cavendish Washington, Muslim Abui, a very conscientious leader who is a reader who can read things and understand it better than anybody I've met. And so Saturday, every Saturday at the time I mentioned, which I mentioned again for those of you who are slow folks with the pen, open up your mind and listen to this one and get your pen to make sure you get it. You want to dial area code 657-383-0671, and you want to call that number. But the days I mentioned, every Saturday at the time I mentioned, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. You got it? Okay, let's go forward. Now, this is the deal. There's 5 minutes left, and I want to say to you, it's been a pleasure to speak. And there's some things I haven't said, but I'll say like Jesus said. Let me see if I can say it. Jesus, help me with this one, God, to say what Jesus said, if that's what he said. He says, greater works will you do than I. And I'm telling you, the greater works that he said that I will do is not just on me, it's on you too. So the greater works that I will do is on you too. Look in the mirror and see what you're not doing to help people in this country, in this world. And I want you to think about this now. Think about my brother and friend, Michael Jackson, when you look in that mirror. And I want you to think about that song he wrote called Man in the Mirror. But when you still say a man in the mirror, say mind in the mirror, M-I-N-D. Because man means mind, and mind means thinker, and thinker is what's missing today. That's why we're thinking as a nation. So I need your help to help us not sink, because it's raining so much we might get flooded out like the times of Noah. So we want to avoid the flood of Noah by being thinkers and being mindful of other people and not taking their stuff as our own, because we have the power of the weapons of destruction to put people in check. See, you have obligation with that power to demonstrate the level of forgiveness. So forgive me, or forgive them, for they know not what they do. And these are the last comments. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when we say we're brothers in humanity, don't just choose brothers based on cultural identity, but choose brothers based on common goals that we have as a society, for example, here in America, as society, for example, in the country, the continent of Africa, which, you know, people, the different countries in Africa, which is a continent, unlike Miss Sarah Palin, who said that Africa was a country, she was really stuck on ignorant when she said that one. I was like, she sounded like George Bush. But George Bush was not the stupidest that ever said anything. I think George Bush was sincere. I think George Bush was manipulated by his friend, Mr. Dick Cheney, who shot his best friend in the face with a scatter bird gun, and he didn't die, but he shot him on purpose. Mr. Cheney, I'm not going to go home with you no more, sir. Okay, in any event, we're all gone, and I want to thank you for your time, and I'm going to say this prayer for you in Arabic, in Muslim Arabic, and then I'm going to say it in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahir rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin. In English, I seek refuge in God, with God, away from the enemy devil, which we call Shaitan, with the name of God, with the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, thy aid and guidance we seek. Show us the straight way, the way on those whose portion is not wrath, who go not astray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Talk to you on Wednesday. Wednesday we'll have the program again under Life Success Radio. Life Success Radio. And my name, Haleem the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem, Master Inspirational Success Teacher, World's Greatest Inspirational Success Teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of Think and Grow Rich. And for those of you who think I'm not the one, you better take a look in the mirror and check yourself, because you can't tell me who God made me to be. I'm the one because God brought me here for this purpose. So I'm going to say forgive you for being stupid in your comment that I needed some validation for anybody. I don't need validation for nobody but God. Assalamu alaikum. God's peace unto you.